Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This show looks at the use of Venice as a location in films. I hope you enjoy the show. Venice is a mysterious, enchanting and beautiful city, and it's been used many times as a location for films. So let's take a look at some of the best examples. First up, we have Don't Look Now, Nick Rogue's dark thriller from 1973, starring Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie, and they play a couple grieving over the loss of their daughter in a tragic drowning accident at their home. They're in Venice involved in the restoration of a cathedral and meet two sisters, one of whom has psychic ability. It was one of the first psychological thrillers and remains a riveting film. It's based on a story by Daphne du Maurier, who was very pleased with the way the film turned out and wrote to Rogue to thank him. Sutherland and Christie had never met before this film, and their first scene together was a love scene, somewhat awkward, I imagine. Nick Rogue deliberately didn't use the usual Venice landmarks to avoid a travelogue look to the film, and consequently he had trouble with the tides when filming. Next, we have The Venetian Affair, a spy thriller starring Peter Vaughan as an ex-spy turned journalist, and he gets assigned to cover an explosion at an international conference in Venice, in which the perpetrator is killed. The idea was to capitalise on Vaughan's successful TV role in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. It's unfairly dismissed as a sub-Bond film, but it stands on its own two feet in all categories. Elka Summer plays Vaughan's love interest, and Boris Karloff plays an ageing scientist. Ed Asner is Vaughan's ex-CIA boss, and he's put in charge of the case. Lalo Schifrin provided the score. In A Girl Called Jules from 1970, directed by Tonino Valeri, the lovely Silvia Dionisio plays a teenage bombshell who seems to attract everybody she meets. It's a brooding, unsettling film that has a surprise twist of an ending. It makes good use of its Venice locations, and Tonino Valeri stepped out from behind Sergio Leone's shadow to direct this after working on Leone's westerns.
Thank you.
In The Stranger's Hand, made in 1954, a young schoolboy travels from England to Venice to meet his father, played by Trevor Howard. They haven't seen each other for 4 years. The trouble is, after phoning his son from the station, he never shows up at the hotel. The local police aren't too put out by this and expect him to turn up, but the boy suspects something more sinister is going on. It's based on a Graham Greene story and captures the boy's loneliness in a foreign place very well. It's well put together, and Richard O'Sullivan, on his debut, is excellent as the schoolboy. Richard Basehart appears midway through to help the boy to locate his father. If you've not come across Vittorio Gassman before, you're in for a surprise in The Forbidden Room, directed by Dino Risi, made in 1977. An adolescent arrives in Venice to visit his uncle and aunt, who live in a decaying palace on a canal. The aunt is played by Catherine Deneuve. Gassman plays the eccentric, domineering uncle, and we follow the boy as he uncovers some dark secrets locked up in the palace. This film really highlights the brooding, mysterious atmosphere of Venice.
Thank you.
Who Saw Her Die, starring George Lazenby in one of his better roles, has a similar plot to Don't Look Now and was made a year earlier, interestingly enough, but this is really a giallo film in disguise. Directed by Aldo Lardo, it's got an interesting score by Ennio Morricone and is well worth a look. Joseph Losey made Eva in 1962, in which Stanley Baker plays a fated Welsh playwright who falls for a disillusioned and bored gambler, played exquisitely by Jean Moreau. It's based on a James Hadley Chase novel. The film follows the playwright's descent into failure and humiliation as she spurns his demands. Its mood is one of unhappy decadence and could be a little slow for some people. It was originally going to be directed by Jean-Luc Godard and star Richard Burton.
Branches down along the ground and cover me. Listen to my plea. Hear me, willow, and weep for me. Gone my lovely dreams, lovely summer dreams, gone and left me here to weep my tears along the stream. Sad as I can be, hear me, willow, and weep for me. Whisper to the wind and say that love has sinned to leave my heart a sighing and crying alone. Murmur to the night, hide its starry light so none will find me sighing, crying all alone. Weeping willow tree, weeping sympathy, bend your branches down along the ground and cover me. Listen to my plea, hear me, willow, and
Paul Schrader's The Comfort of Strangers has Christopher Walken on best form, playing an idle rich man living in Venice. He comes across an English couple, played by Rupert Everett and Natasha Richardson, trying to rekindle their love, and he plays with them devilishly. Ian McEwan wrote the source novel, and the screenplay was by Harold Pinter. Helen Mirren plays Walken's wife. Unfortunately, the parts don't add up to a super film, but Venice is well used as the location anyway.
Amorevole, sei vicino a me, adorabilmente così, tu sei qui. Sfioro con le mani e t'accarezzo il viso, ti bacio dolcemente, sempre più amorevole. Resta qui con me, adorabilmente così, voglio te. C'è più azzurro in cielo, non ha più luce il sole, non c'è più niente al mondo senza te. Amorevole, abbandonati, resta ancor vicino a me, così. Adorabilmente così, voglio te. Non c'è più azzurro in cielo, non ha più luce il sole, non c'è più niente al mondo senza te. amorevole, abbandonati, resta ancor vicino a me, resta ancor vicino a me, amore, amore, così.
In 1967, Rex Harrison starred in The Honey Pot, about an extremely rich man who decides to play a trick on some of his past mistresses. He employs an American actor as his aide, and after inviting them to his palace in Venice, leads them to believe that one of them will inherit his fortune. This is a very well-made film, and Rex Harrison is in his element. Cliff Robertson plays the aide, and Maggie Smith turns up as a nurse of one of the girlfriends. Joseph L. Mankiewicz directed, and it's a very enjoyable film, with Susan Hayward taking centre stage as the main contender for the fortune. Although there is a twist in the tale. Thank you. In 1971, Luchino Visconti gave us Death in Venice, starring Dirk Bogarde as an ailing German composer who's in need of a rest and goes to a hotel at the Lido in Venice to recuperate. As soon as he arrives there, he notices a beautiful adolescent boy whom he becomes infatuated with. The photography of this film is fabulous, but you may feel, as I do, that the content of the film is overwhelmed by the setting. It's based on a Thomas Mann novel. On release, it became a huge European hit, and watch out for great Italian actor Franco Fabrizi, who plays a barber in the later part of the film. Finally, I must point you in the direction of David Lean's film Summertime, released in 1955. It's a story of an ageing spinster played by Katharine Hepburn, who arrives on holiday in Venice alone. She seems perfectly happy, but sees the romantic connection of the city and ends up falling in love with the owner of an antique store. Hepburn is very good, and the use of Venice as a location is the best of all the films I've seen. Sir David Lean enjoyed the city so much it became his second home, and this film was his favourite of the ones he made. Well, I hope this has been of help to those interested in Venice as a film location, and long may it continue to be an inspiration to filmmakers. Thank you for listening.
I dream of the summertime, of Venice and the summertime. I see the cafes, the sunlit days, with you, my love. The antique shop, where we'd stop for a souvenir. The bridge, the boats below, the blue above. Un sogno romantico, Venezia il sole splendido, di mille canzoni le colontane aborderò. Questa laguna addormentata ricorderò, che parla al mio cuore solo d'amore, sempre d'amore. And you and summertime deep in my heart. Che parla il mio cuore solo d'amore, sempre d'amore.